I'd like to call this council and committee meeting to order. I think we got in just before 6:01. I think it was 6:00:59. Madam Clerk, the roll call, please.
Your Worship, all members of council are present, save and except Councillor Lubberts, who is ill tonight.
Thank you. There are no announcements this evening. I will say that a couple of changes to the agenda. Number one, Anthony Annunziata will not be coming out this evening. He's apparently satisfied that the region is recognizing some of the concerns that he had raised. And secondly, with respect to the report dealing with the Douglastown Black Creek secondary plan, there's an error in the recommendation that appears in our agenda. It makes reference to Stevensville secondary plan. It should actually be Douglastown Black Creek. And I'm sure that Mr. Miller was going to bring that to our attention in any event. So, are there any disclosures of pecuniary interest? Being none, there are a couple of public notices. One relates to the 2016 budget meeting schedule. We have a meeting scheduled for tomorrow evening, February the 3rd, starting at 6 o'clock in the council chambers. And there's a public meeting on Monday, February the 22nd. Monday, February 22nd with respect to food trucks and refreshment vehicles. And that public meeting will take place at 6 o'clock, again, in the town hall council chambers. This evening, we have a public meeting with respect to the official plan amendment number 28 and property rezoning relative to the Douglastown Black Creek secondary plan. So for those in the audience who are here for that, we will hear from staff with respect to some background regarding the matter, and then anyone who wishes to speak from the public, either for or against, has questions, will be called forward. We'll ask you for your name and address, and if you would provide that when you speak, that would be appreciated. So we'll start with Mr. Miller, who's going to provide us with some background. Good evening.
Good evening, Mayor. I apologize if I appear I'm slouching. I just want to make sure I'm speaking into the microphone.
I think the microphone's fairly sensitive, and if there's a problem, we'll let you know. I wouldn't want you to hurt your back.
Yes, good evening, Council, members of staff, those who joined us in the chamber this evening, and those who are listening at home on the audio. I'm just going to go through a PowerPoint presentation here. Regarding the Douglastown Black Creek secondary plan, just some quick stuff off the top here. So the plan area is outlined in red on the map for you. It's about 445 acres. Currently, I'd peg it at about 1,375 in population, roughly 650 units. There are presently no registered lots from subdivisions available in the community. There is the one teetering on registration, of course, which was the River Trail Phase 2, and that's a subdivision that has 90 lots detached homes. I'd also like to put some context in the secondary planning that we're doing. It's not something we do in isolation or without reference or regard. We have to, of course, follow along with a cascade of policy that starts from the top on down, and what you see there is a provincial policy statement and Places to Grow, which is certainly the growth plan, which impacts our area. You'd hear of other provincial plans like the Oak Ridges Moraine Plan and things of that nature. Well, this is the growth plan. It reaches down into Fort Erie. There's also the Ministry of Natural Resources and Conservation Authority's regulation regarding the protection of environmental features, which was put together through Ontario Regulation 155 back in 2006 as well. The region's newly consolidated official plan, 2014, I believe, together or consolidated, and our town official plan. And that cascade is all in line. The policy references trickle down and are all together, and our secondary plan falls below our official plan, but it's at a much finer detail than all documents above. Excuse me. So some strong communities and the smart growth principles, these are pretty much the principles for the last decade in terms of how we form our communities and the principles we're using when we're looking at putting together secondary plans. creating a mix of land use, which in Douglas Town and Black Creek's case here is important. We have predominantly, or exclusively, I should say, a detached development community. So we'd like to introduce various forms for the different needs through their life cycles. I won't go through all of them, but there are a few in there that are certainly very poignant to the secondary planning that is occurring with this community. So just to let everyone know a little bit more about the secondary plan, it is actually an official plan amendment. It is amendment number 28, or would be amendment number 28. The process is open, transparent. I'm out there in the public all the time. We're engaging the public. We've had numerous numerous meetings with focus groups, and I think Appendix 2 in the report details the amount of consultation and notification that's going on. There are informal components and formal components. I'm out sending drafts to the agencies and partners, to looking as we go through this plan, they're looking for things that might be of a concern to them or an issue for us. So we're trying to iron these things out before we get to a formal process so that we have a good firm document. We're out there keeping the public informed through the website. Everything I do is posted on the website so that they can get at it. Our key documents, drafts, presentations, the PowerPoints, the plans, the policies, they can get to them. And we, of course, conduct the public consultations. We had two open house meetings in the community, so they did not have to travel. We went out to a couple of venues there, Faith Reformed, and also to the community center to gather some feedback and present. Council, of course, determined the order of the secondary plans. So this is the Douglastown Black Creek stage where we're close to wrapping it up. Of course, we engaged the community, starting with the focus group. We went through, I would say, strategic session where we had a strengths, weakness, opportunities, constraints exercise, which you know, identified our goals and our vision statement. And this was the vision statement that was generated for the community. And for those at home, I'll just read this. The ideal Douglastown Black Creek is a peaceful bedroom community uniquely located for those who enjoy active outdoor leisure lifestyles, including support for active transportation and walkable local commercial amenities, where homes are affordable, available for all ages, and where future development is compatible with its surroundings. That was the guiding touchstone that we kept looking back as we go through the process. We had three, in addition to the strategic sessions, we had three focus group meetings where we sat with the group and went through the plan as it was being developed. Debated everything that was going on. There was certainly some strong opinions in the group. We did a sketch session where we went through and scribbled on the air photos, and then we cleaned those up and we took them to the public. And from that, we formed a development concept. And again, that was put out to the public and circulated to the agencies at that time. I'm just going to go to the next few slides, which are basically the illustrations. Here are a couple of the illustrations that we started with the focus group, so we could get their ideas. We split them into two groups, and we came up and discussed. And if everyone who's familiar with the community knows that the majority of the developable land will be the lands west of Black Creek Road, predominantly east is now developed. And of course, there's some vacant land south of the QEW. So those plans were cleaned up in a format, and some dialogue was put into the plan so that they could be viewed and opinions taken from that. And then further on, they were consolidated into one plan, which formed the basis of our land use plans for our schedules. This was a plan that was also circulated to the agencies early so that they could let us know what if any concerns they may have had. So. Key points for our secondary plan are we're introducing some diversity in the housing stock. The community currently doesn't have that diversity. We're trying to address the age-in-place options going forward and address our OP, which calls for a mix of unit type. Essentially, the designations that I was mentioning are all sort of west side of Black Creek Road. We are identifying intensification areas, gateway commercial in the plan, and at build-out, the plan would essentially they approximately bring in or have another 500 units, and that split you can see is roughly 200 medium, 300 low. We're using some site-specific policies to address some areas that perhaps could use some additional consideration in terms of policy, like the land south on the, of the QEW that are commercial. We're trying to introduce some additional permitted uses in those lands that are, I would say, more along the lines of an industrial desert or industrial type of use, but fall within a class one in terms of its compatibility. You know, there's no outside storage, there's not going around the clock and heavy trucks, everything's done inside, that type of thing. We'd like to provide options for Black Creek leisure homes. They're at or close to build out. And so we were trying to look at areas that they may be able to grow into. So we were providing policy on the north of Town Line Road that if they were ever able to secure those lands would allow them to go forward in that direction. There are some lands that are restricted with municipal services, only having water or on Switch Road perhaps, only having a sanitary sewer and getting water by cistern. And of course the vacant commercial out at the parkway was another flashpoint with the group, focus group. I'm just going to quickly go through the schedules. The schedules are, there are five schedules that fell out of that concept plan I had shown you early. This one is just one that sort of highlights at the top level for provincial interests of where the proposed draft plans are, where the draft approved plans are, where our intensification areas are, and where areas that are underutilized are. So it's a very straightforward plan. The plan on the left in this instance is the land use plan. It will probably be the first plan that everybody looks at. It sort of is the one that dictates the low, medium, high densities, the protection, what's commercial, those types of things. The plan on the right is our natural features and open space. That one illustrates our key natural feature areas, like the wetlands and the river. It also identifies the park spaces. You can see, for example, there's two concentric rings on the map. They're 600 meters, so it's sort of a walking distance to the parks, and you can see that the proposed park in the top left, which is generally replacing the active park space in AC1 or AC Douglas Park 1, which has got the sanitary pumping station, and it's in the floodplain. So those that park up at the top will help disperse and make the parks accessible, more accessible for everyone. It's also been identified in the Parks and Open Space Master Plan, so it is fitting together with that. Then we have our hazard and fish habitat plan on the left, basically showing floodplain and the types of fish habitat, class one, class two, type one, type two, I'm sorry. And then the plan on the right is the transportation plan, which illustrates conceptually in some instances where roads could go to fill those voids of development. They're not required to go in those locations. They can be changed without amendment to the plan, but it's to give the idea of how a transportation network may set up. Although you can't see it at this scale, it is typically a larger plan. There's the pedestrian network is also identified on there through sidewalks, proposed sidewalks, our trail linkages, trying to illustrate where pedestrians would move around throughout the community once complete. Now this section here would deal with the zoning. The plans before, of course, with the land use schedules for the secondary plan, the policy document, changes to the comprehensive zoning bylaw are proposed in order to effectively implement that plan. And so we go through and examine which properties have been identified for a designation change and that perhaps a zoning change needs to be done as well. So, of course, I don't expect everyone to read the stuff on the left. It's all available on the website very finely, but the property's highlighted. The colors do not necessarily mean anything. It's just identifying a particular property that's changing from one zone to another. And there are the three schedules that would go along with that, identifying all the changes that have occurred in the or we're proposing in the secondary plan. Of course, the commenting is important as we go through the process. The agencies and stakeholders, I can say at this point, are key people, MPCA, Niagara Parks, the region, they're all okay with this plan. Their last comments came in and no more issues. So that's very good. They have no issues with the plan or the zoning for that matter. We've always encouraged public input. I believe Appendix 2, as I mentioned, has all the consultation that's gone on and notification. And, of course, Appendix 10 and 11 in your report details, even in summary form, very lengthy commenting that's gone on with the public throughout the informal and formal process. Some of the common themes that we were getting from the public over this were that they wanted things to stay the same. They did not want to see change. They did not want the higher densities or the small lots. There was concern over the lagoon and water supplies or the capacity. Environmental protection and traffic and pedestrian. Those were, I guess, you know, just summary, the key items and topics that kept coming up. We did receive a few comments from agencies that came in after reporting deadlines. So I could not get them in the report, but I'd just like to note them in the presentation. As Bell Canada did send in seeking a minor modification to some wording in a policy. Staff are amenable to it. It doesn't affect anything. Weston Consulting, a representative of a landowner in the plan area, I believe has a representative here tonight who can speak. They were looking for some changes or some modifications as well. And the Core Tech Group, who sent something in at about 4 o'clock today, who are representing Black Creek Leisure Homes or Parkbridge Lifestyle Communities, the owner of the property. And although they were a participant in the focus group, they understood that, you know, urban boundary expansion was not something that was on the table for secondary planning. However, they're taking this opportunity just to let it be known that they push for an urban boundary expansion west on they own. So they've just made that known through their submission today. So those are the latecomers. So the next following tonight's public meeting and the input we receive, we'll take that back for consideration before preparing a recommendation report. And we're also sort of waiting from the region. There was an inclination or the potential that we may receive approval authority on this plan. To date, we've always sent secondary plans to the region for approval. They do have the ability to delegate that down to town staff or the town municipality. So we may yet end up with an approval authority for this plan. It hasn't been made official. So if that does occur, any notifications will then be corrected to say that, you know, notify the town if you're, you know, planning to appeal or something like that. So that's something we're waiting for, but a recommendation report would be forthcoming after we've heard from everyone and taken it into consideration. So that's my presentation. Sorry for being so lengthy. And
thank you very much, Mr. Miller. Do any members of council have questions of Mr. Miller before we turn this over to the audience? Just had a couple of questions, if I might, then.
Certainly.
There was a focus group. How many people were on the focus group?
The focus group, I believe, was comprising of 6. Appendix 12 in your report would identify those individuals. If you wouldn't mind, I'll just flip to that and confirm.
Those were all residents that lived within the area?
So there's about 7, yes, absolutely. We were looking for a cross-section. When we do these secondary plans, we advertise in the paper for interested parties to submit an expression of interest in participating. We are looking for, you know, a mix of people. So in this instance, I say we have, you know, residents. We have interest from the community of Black Creek Leisure Homes. We have from the ownership. And politicians are also included in the focus. So that's there in Appendix 12. And I am thanking them for their participation. They did participate in the, you know, come for the 4 meetings. And
thank you. And then just with respect to the comments that you made and that we will see later on in the reports with respect to the housing variety. You've referred to aging in place, and I think in the report there's a mention that that doesn't necessarily mean just older people. It could mean younger people that are looking for alternate types of accommodations. So what's the general philosophy of the municipality, currently driven by provincial policy, with respect to the type of housing and what the ratio should be in a municipality?
Well, I'll tell you that our official plan, our official plan is targeting a mix of 80% detached housing, 20% multiple attached. So that's the target we're trying to achieve. So presently, it's 100% detached living in Black Creek. So any introduction of alternate types of form, and that could be anything from semis, townhomes, small apartments, and you spoke of the age in place. That's the type of thing that we're looking to provide here. People who are reaching a certain point may not be able to maintain a yard or something like that. We're not necessarily wanting to leave that community, have nowhere to go. They have to leave the community. Introduction of this type of living, whether it be an apartment, condominium, life lease type of uses, provide an option to keep them in the community. And as far as the youth goes, absolutely. They're part of age in place. You're right. Many people will take that term and think automatically, take it senior years, when in fact there are people who may just need to get out of their home, don't want to leave the community, want to be close to mom and dad. And so there are options, and say for example in the land use plan, commercial at the corner of Baker and Netherby, we're encouraging the second floor for residential apartments, rental apartments, or perhaps being there, or even seniors. It's not exclusive one way or another. It's just that having those options or those forms in the community where they don't exist now is what we're trying to achieve.
The types of housing that is permitted, that's a function of the zoning, is that correct?
Yes, and also the policies. You know, the policies can say that, can be reserved for, detached dwellings. But certainly the zoning is the regulating document, and the permitted uses are there, singles, semis, towns, detached. Our excuse me, our medium densities are residential medium 1 and residential medium 2. 1 is more of a ground-based medium density, or so you have townhomes, semis, triplexes, quads, restricted at height usually to 3 stories. And the RM2 is more of the apartment form, so you start to rise up in height. We do, in my proposed zoning, have an RM2 designation just south of where the church would be located. Faith Reformed, south of the commercial. I would like to see an RM2 in there, but I'm also, the site specific I'm putting forward on that is also to keep it at a 3-story location. One of the things we heard a lot of from the residents was keep the character, keep the height down, and so we're trying to provide some density and respect the character of the community.
I may be wrong, but I get the impression you enjoy this work.
Yes, I do.
I have one other serious question, and that's one that relates to the one map that you had showed some specific properties with different colors. Those were going to be the subject of rezoning. Have those property owners all been given notification that their properties are targeted for rezonings?
Absolutely. After the first, prior to the second information open house is when town staff had a firm idea of whose properties would be faced with either a designation or zoning or both. Everyone was mailed direct or in some instances hand-delivered the notification. And when the public meeting, this meeting, everybody was mailed notification. So those property owners, everybody who's experienced a change will have received.
Thank you very much, Mr. Miller. Now, before you go, are any councillors have any questions arising out of my questions? Councillor Nutt.
Thank you, Your Worship. Through you to Mr. Miller. Thanks. I want to thank you very much for your hard work on this, Mr. Miller, and I appreciate all the time and effort that you spent in there. Through this whole process, the community has been, I believe, fairly engaged, and I've had communication with quite a few residents in a one-on-one situation. But just for clarification, because not everybody understands the policy from the province and what they're doing, this is a provincially mandated places to grow policy that we're following that bleeds down from the province through the region to Fort Erie. So if some of the questions that were posed to me were What would happen to the Black Creek area if we did nothing and didn't approve this plan? A lot of questions came around why we were doing this now. And just also, if you could maybe comment, or yourself, Mr. Brady might be able to comment too, just about what funding or grants or things like that we potentially could be missing out if
that's
we didn't proceed with something like
that. That's something that we can get into.
That's fine.
Public meeting.
I can hold my questions still then. That's not a problem.
But you did want some comment with respect to the provincial policy.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, to Councillor Nutt, thank you. Yes, certainly everything in our planning world is related to what's happened at the provincial level. Places to grow, you know, we've got areas where we're dealing with is greenfield and built up or built boundary kind of separate things to be considered as far as what's expected from the provincial level. And in Black Creek Douglastown's case, built up boundary. It's a built boundary. So the level of intensification does not have to be as grandiose or as intense as some of our greenfield areas. But we look at it holistically. We're trying to achieve as part of our growth management with the town. You know, the province, through their growth plan, has said to the region, you have to provide for X amount of people in the region. And the region have taken the number and said, here, you've got to provide for 9,000-10,000 people by this year. So these secondary plans are looking at it, okay, so how can we find, or where should we find our areas for intensification? Where do they belong from a community structure? Not just because we've got a vacant piece of property over there, pop up, go something big. We've got to look at it much larger and say, you know, as a community, how can we fit these pieces in? You know, being respectful and mindful of existing character and the amenities that are available.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Mr. Miller. At this time, then, I'll ask for anyone who wishes to address council with respect to the proposed official plan amendment and property rezoning. Please come forward, and could we have your name and address, please, for the record?
Good evening. My name is Tula Nasina, and I'm from Weston Consulting. The address is 201 Millway Avenue, Suite 19, Vaughan, Ontario. And I'm representing the owners of the property at 3170 Netherby Road in the Black Creek Road and Queen Elizabeth Way area. I would like to express our support of the Douglastown Black Creek Secondary Plan Official Plan Amendment number 28 put forward by staff. And we have participated in the process by attending the open houses and made written submissions to the planning department. We want to thank staff for all their hard work on the Douglastown Black Creek Secondary Plan, but would also ask if they would consider a provision for cost sharing of policies to encourage fair and appropriate stormwater management and servicing of lands, which would also provide certainty for future infrastructure. Thank you for providing us with an opportunity to provide comments. We look forward to the advancement of the secondary plan and the implementing zoning bylaw. We wish to reserve the right to provide additional comments through the process.
Thank you. Before you go, do any members of council have any questions? Thank you very much. Anyone else who wishes to address council? Please come forward, sir. Mind removing your hat? Thank you.
My name's Dave Gabry. I live at...
I'm sorry, your last name?
Gabry, G-A-B-O-U-R-Y. I live at 3530 River Trail, which is adjacent to the Canfield access to the creek, which was a road allowance. I moved to Black Creek in 1984 for the simple reason for the leisure and the boating and that is afforded there. I've maintained that vacant lot all that time in excess of 30 years. My concern now, and I'm objecting to, I understand correctly, that this is now going to become a green space, now going to affect my privacy and my residence, and most likely devalue the property. I have some really, really grave concerns about going to happen. I've really not heard anything very elaborate, it's just that, well, you won't have to cut the grass no more because the city's going to do it. Well, that's not an answer. So I'm just here to say that I'm opposed to this. And I know there's several other road allowances along the creek that, and I'm pretty sure those people that are adjacent to those properties probably feel much the same way I do. So anyway, that's my concern, and I want to thank council for allowing me to.
Any members of council have any questions? Maybe you could just help me here, clarify. You're adjacent to an unopened road allowance.
Yes, it's a vacant property. My understanding was originally a road allowance to allow fire trucks. Before we had sewers, allow fire trucks access to Black Creek for water. That's my understanding. And it's been that way since I moved there. And I've been cutting that grass all this time to maintain that property. Now all of a sudden, I don't know if fences are going to go up. Or I don't know what's going
to
happen.
You're adjacent to an area that's going to be developed.
It's going to be green space. I think park.
I see.
Park.
You, okay. Concern about that is that other people will be utilizing that
well,
area.
Yeah,
it will affect your privacy.
I don't know. There's going to be an influx, or possibly could be an influx, of pedestrian traffic between my property and the adjacent property on the other side of that. And I don't know how much activity is going to be there, but it could be quite a bit. I don't have a crystal ball. I don't know. I just know I'm potentially losing my privacy, potentially losing value on my property.
Okay.
I've lost privacy though.
Right. I got that. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Anyone else that wishes to address council on this? Okay, then I'll ask one more time, and if no one else wishes to speak, I'm going to declare the meeting closed. Is there anyone else that wishes to address council on this? Okay, yes. Scott, would you please come forward? Sorry, that used to be your name. Sorry, Barb.
Let's go with, it's Barb Scott Boyer, and I'm at 370-3033 Town Line Road. And I think I'm jumping a whole bunch of guns here by asking my question, and I think I've got a very good idea of what you're going to tell me. But we have seen on Town Line and up to Netherby that there's been a lot of clear cutting, and we are kind of curious as to what might be coming right in front of our area.
Talking about the area between Town Line and the Queen Elizabeth Highway?
No. Town Line doesn't really meet the Queen Elizabeth. You come off, Chris will tell you.
Yeah, no.
Draw a map.
Town Line hits Netherby. Hits
right.
Netherby.
It's Town Line.
That's all well and good, Counselor, not, but no one else can see your scratching.
Okay, when you come to Black Creek to the leisure homes, you come in, you come down Town Line Road. And then you'll get to a gate that takes you into the residence way, and you'll take a main gate. Now, in front of that gate area has been some clear cutting, and we're wondering if anybody has any idea what's going to go in there.
That's south of Town Line Road.
That's the piece there.
Yeah.
And can you assure us we're not going to get a gas station in that area? Is there any idea what's going
what,
to go in there?
Well, what will the zoning of that be, Mr. Moon?
Mr. Mayor, it is zoned for C4. It's been zoned C4 for quite some time. Our plan is not proposing to change it. The clearing that's gone on is brush management, as far as I know. We have not received an application. I do believe the property changed hands recently. So at this point, that's all that we can say, because there has been no contact, as far as I can tell.
So the answer is we don't know what might happen at this stage. But there are certain things that are permitted for that zone, one of which would be a gas station.
Gas station is one of them.
One could be.
Okay. Thank you for comedy hour.
Is there anyone else that wishes to address council? Okay, then I'm going to declare this public meeting closed. And we do have a report later on in the agenda that's going to be received by council for information purposes. We'll then, staff will then, as Mr. Miller indicated, be reviewing all of the information that they've received, including any comments this evening, and will be providing us with further recommendations to finalize the matter. Okay, so before we go to the consent agenda, I would like to recognize Joe Sorrenti, who's at the back of the room. He's been one of our IT specialists for the last 4 years here at the town of Fort Erie. He was the individual who introduced all of us to our iPads. Some of the counselors already had them, but then there were new dogs that got new tricks and toys to play with. And Mr. Sorrenti was very, very helpful for all of us, and he's been very diligent in helping to make sure that all of the staff have their equipment operating, functioning well. And unfortunately for the town of Fort Erie, but fortunately for Niagara College, Joe is going to be moving to Niagara College at the end of, well, he's leaving the town at the end of this week and starting work at Niagara College. And on behalf of the council, I want to thank you, Joe, for your years of service to the community. And we're sorry to see you go. Don't be a stranger. And I'd like to think that if we really needed your help, we could always reach out. So thank you again for being here and for your years of service. Okay, back to business. That then takes us to the consent agenda. Are there any items that anyone wishes removed from the consent agenda package? For questions or comments, does anyone? Right. Okay. Madam Clerk, I know you like reports removed if there are going to be questions, but I think what we'll do is we'll leave these reports, unless somebody wants a report taken out. We'll leave the reports in. People can ask questions about the reports, and if it looks like there's going to be any change or whatever, we'll remove it. Otherwise, we'll just muddle through. Sorry. I know you're working on me, and eventually you'll be successful. Okay, Councillor Nutt, you did. First of all, let's put the consent agenda items on the floor.
So moved.
Okay, Councillor Passero, I saw your hand go up first. So these items are on the floor. Councillor Nutt, you had some questions relative to the Douglastown Black Creek report.
Certainly. Through part of the consultation process, and while this has all been going on, there's been a number of citizens who've reached out to me directly. So I just want to bring forward their questions and ask them so that for the benefit of those that couldn't attend the town halls and other meetings, Mr. Miller has a chance to answer them. So the first question being, we know that this is policy-driven. What would happen to the Black Creek-Douglastown area if we didn't approve this? Would the province then or the region come in and mandate their own CIP for this area?
Mr. Brady? Oh, sorry, Mr. Miller, you want to talk to that or Mr. Brady?
Okay.
Well, we'll give you both a crack if you wish.
Through you to the councillor. This particular secondary plan has no CIP attached to it. So there's no commercial areas that are downtown oriented. that are being dealt with in the fashion of a CIP. So this the secondary plan is basically all you get. What the secondary plan does for the residents of the Douglastown area, it gives them some assurance of how things will go, as opposed to trying to deal with each development on a development-by-development basis. As you heard tonight, there are a number of, or at least there's one developer in place who's bringing in Toronto planners and architects, and they're looking for higher densities. This particular secondary plan identifies the areas for those higher densities, pushes them, if you will, away from the existing fabric of that community, provides them in locations that we think are appropriate in the little area, the little commercial area that we've sort of etched out on the one side of the community. So it allows the existing residential areas, which are 100% single family, to be buffered from any multi-use development coming into it. That's what the secondary plan does. The other thing it does is, in this particular context, is it provides for locations for some parks, which are needed in this municipality or in this area. And it also provides for some opening up of development in the industrial area, commercial area associated with the Queen Elizabeth. That area has sat vacant for a very long period of time. You heard tonight that there's some bush cutting in the one little sliver, but the rest of it has sat there for a long period of time. We've had a lot of discussion with the landowners as part of this, and we're introducing some additional uses into those lands, which would provide for a wider range of development options on those properties.
Thank you. In the plan, it calls for Class 1 designations for industrial land, and some of the residents have brought forward concerns that they don't want to see heavy industry in this area, and its close proximity to our industrial park on Eagle Street would make more sense to push heavy industry over there. Is there any assurance we can give to the general public and the citizens in this area that there wouldn't be heavy industry pushed in this area?
Let's let Mr. Miller answer that one, since he's been working on this.
Excuse me. Yes, the MOE guidelines for development are separation-driven, and the types of uses are class 1, 2, and 3. Class 3 being most intensive, which are 24-hour operations, lots of trucking, huge noise emissions, those types of things. There are some that would fit that class, say, along Eagle Street, which would be where you'd want to focus your heavier industrial. The types of uses that we're talking about in this area here are class one, which are the least. They're typically, everything occurs inside. They're not running around the clock. You may get some deliveries, through the day, a truck here or there type of thing. But by all means, they're not intrusive. So what would be required for those uses to go in there too would be demonstration that or complying with the MOE guidelines. So it's not just an open door, come on in. If you want some evidence that, you're going to be compatible. So.
Thank you. Thank you, Your Worship. Through you to either Mr. Brudy or Mr. Miller, whoever feels comfortable taking this one. Some of the residents have raised concerns that they want to maintain the continuity of the neighborhood. So their concern is about high-rise apartment buildings coming into this area. And a few of the citizens pointed out we have areas like the County Fair Mall that there already are high-rises there. Wouldn't it be better to place them there versus designating high-rise apartment buildings in this area? So,
Mr. Miller?
I can tell you that there is no approval above three stories that were being proposed in this plan. excuse me, that to us is compatible. It's most certainly compatible. Residential uses next to residential uses. The height is, there are areas, certainly down by, the County Fair Mall, and, those are in more intense urban areas with lots of services around them. I think the balance is being struck with the plan here to provide for a three-story apartment which could provide for the senior resident component of the plan. It's quite a reasonable and manageable and missing component to this plan area. Three stories is not a high rise.
So you're I agree, three stories isn't a high rise. So your thoughts are more along the line of, say, a Porta Village in Port Colborne or Fawn Hill, what they've got there with the seniors, assisted living, three-story buildings that are
very
nice.
If we can find some operators that would be interested in that type of thing, certainly. I'm not saying one way or another. It must be assisted, fully assisted, or nursing, or just everyday, fully independent living. We're just making, the form is what we're talking about here. The form of three-story apartment, they can be very attractive.
Just the last concern that was raised to me that I want to bring forward tonight is changing Black Creek Road from the boulevard to the intersection at River Trail. The road there is very normal, and a lot of citizens have raised the concern that they'd like to see that be made into a one-way. As an entrance into the community from the Niagara Boulevard going up to River Trail and then have it go its normal route there, because those roads are standard size, whereas the Black Creek Road from the Boulevard to River Trail is a older, not as wide road, and with foot traffic on there and buses dropping off kids, and there are a lot of younger families in that area, so.
If I may, through you, Mr. Mayor, certainly, Councillor Nutt, that situation has been identified. It was identified with the Black Creek subdivision that's occurring. I have a policy in the plan that recognizes that a solution will be found. I'm not pointing out to a specific solution, but we have time to look at that more closely. Now, I know that Traffic Coordinating Committee has been involved. There was submissions made through the subdivision process and even through the secondary plan process about the amount of people who use that. You're right, is it a roadway that, I guess they would call that a given road. It's still a public highway legally, but it's has a substandard, a 20-meter road allowance where everything is lined up. So there is some need to look at that to improve conditions there. I've made suggestions, maybe speed hump solution, slow people down, paint, pedestrian, they're called sharrows, where you would have bicycles and people painted on the roadway surface in lieu of a sidewalk where there isn't room for one, or where you have shoulders. In this case here, we've got the creek very close. I just don't want to, get behind one solution over another until they've been all vetted. And not just for that localized area, but I think the community should be involved in that vetting, and that can carry forward from the plan. There's nothing that should hold up the plan here. But, a solution like one way, for example, I would want to put a pause on that and let's talk about it. We only have two entrance ways into this community, and you're talking about turning one into one way. You may want to back that up a little and think about it. So no solution is required at this moment, but we do recognize the fact that something needs to be done to bring, some improved safety from their perceptions that have been.
Councillor Nutt? Does anyone else have any questions with respect to this report before we move on to any other questions? Mr. Miller, I just had a couple of questions. First had to do with the third part of this report. Had a letter from the Niagara Parks Commission in it, and they were talking about construction buildings close to the parkway, what have you. I wonder if we could get your comment on that.
Okay, the comment is related to the Lighthouse Restaurant. It's there. It's still designated commercial in our plan. It's an existing building. What the comment from MPC was related to was the fact that should these lands, because we do have a policy in our plan that would permit this property to go to a medium density type of use if commercial continued to fail and the owner wanted to explore a different use. So at a medium density use, we would permit maybe between 5 and 9 units, I believe. So if that was to permit an expansion to the building, Parks Commission would prefer that expansion be towards the back of the building, away from the parkway itself. So just keep anything you're going to do with that, towards the back. That's it in a nutshell, really.
Okay, thank you. And then just one other question. There was a comment about, and you alluded to it in your comments to us, about some limited septic system, septic tank systems within the urban area, primarily close to the creek bank, which I found interesting. That's how it's worded. On the river, confined to the riverbank area of Black Creek on the south side of the QEW.
Okay, those would be the lots along Town Line Road. Plan on the screen there is all the yellow underneath the commercial triangle, I guess you could say. Those properties there have access to water, but would require private septic systems. The wording is alluding to putting septic systems on the bank. That's not, you know, what's intended. Of course, septic systems are approved by the region, and I would believe that 30 meters would be the minimum from any sort of open water. So they would have to comply with those types of regulations. So if that's the message you got out of what's written there, I would ask you to, you know.
It's page 13 on Appendix 5, part of Appendix 5.
They would need to comply with regional. The region are the approval authority, so and I can tell you that typically open water, you know, you back 30 meters.
You might want to look at that. That I guess that was just my
thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Miller. I think that's it for the questions regarding that report. Are there any other questions that anyone has with respect to any of the reports in the package? I had some questions with respect to the updated information report, and one of the things I thought this was a very good news report and shows some significant progress that the municipality is making. But I, Mr. Brady, did you want to make some comments about some of the specific things that we're doing in terms of planning and building to respond to some of the recommendations that have been made by the Marini in the Marini report in 2014, 13?
Certainly, I could highlight a couple of the priorities that have been accomplished. To give some background to particularly those who are listening to this, we had hired a consultant to review the planning and development process in the town, and that he provided a report with a whole series of recommendations. A number of the recommendations were put in immediately, and others have been put in over time. So ones that were a high priority and that have been put in immediately dealt with engineering review, which is a function now in CDS, the establishment of benchmarks. Council will recall that benchmarks were provided to Council a little while ago, identifying timetables for a variety of things. Also in terms of benchmarks for telephone and email inquiries, to ensure that all staff within CDS understood that there were requirements to get back in a very timely manner. Committee of Adjustment, there's been a little bit of delegation of some of those matters to the director to deal with technical severances to expedite those processes. Other things in terms of timely responses from external agencies, staff now ensure that deadlines to external agencies are very clear, and that if comments are not received at least 2 days prior to the meeting, then the meeting will need to be adjourned. This has caused a little bit of problems in the past. There's been some legal opinion expressed in terms of the use of requests from infrastructure services for engineering updates, which has provided clarity moving forward. The policy for staff appearing at OMB hearings was reviewed and identified in a more clear fashion. Site planning process, timelines were established for the site planning process. Senior staff have been delegated the function to approve the site planning process, which has cut at least 6 to 8 weeks off of that process. Communications to site planning to public agencies has been clarified in terms of a brochure form. There's been early detection of development charges and park dedication, which sometimes had some confusion in the past. We've identified a phased site planning process, which up till recently the town didn't use, and now we have it in place, and that's to help us with some of our larger developments. I'm just trying to hit some of the high points. Subdivision process, we have identified some specific timelines. We've identified the facilitation that planning staff should be doing in terms of moving developments forward. Made sure that we're more upfront with our park requirements. Subdivision fees, it was suggested should be increased based on comparable municipalities. We've updated it a little bit, but our subdivision fees are still quite low. We've made sure that there is a point of contact in terms of all subdivisions, and that point of contact stays the same person. There's been drainage reviews done to improve our ability to deal with drainage, which, to be quite blunt, has caused a little bit of a kerfuffle with some of the surveyors, because we're being a little more strict in terms of ensuring that when drainage is being dealt with, that drainage does not leave a property and cause a problem for someone else's property. And those are the high points.
Thank you very much, Mr. Brady. I appreciate that. I think that's helpful for the public to be aware of. Any other questions with respect to any items in the package? And I just have a couple of questions with respect to the proposed agreement with the Hill Cottagers organization. First has to do with the wording of the contract itself provides for weekends and holidays. What about special events? If there were a special event that occurred during the course of the week, Mr. Brady, would that be something that I should direct to you or to Lustig, who I understand drafted the agreement? Bill Cottager's parking lot agreement? I could have swore that I saw your name, but...
I could try to handle this question. The whole intent of these agreements, this is the first agreement for a different form of parking. So this isn't the routine of the mill parking lot that we would anticipate would have asphalt and all those kinds of things. This is a parking lot that, for all intents and purposes, looks not like a parking lot. And so it's used for event parking. So the intent was it can be used on weekends, it can be used on holidays, and if it's a special event, well, it's not specific in here, it certainly would provide the Hill Cottagers Association or organization with that ability to use it in that fashion.
I guess it would be startling if the association didn't take advantage of an opportunity. If we had some special event going on at the Bay Beach property, as an example, I suppose it would be startling if they weren't aware of it and weren't prepared to take advantage of the revenue flow that would generate it.
That's absolutely true. And again, the whole intent of this document is to provide a little bit of assurance to the town that we have additional parking spaces out there on those heavy event days. But more importantly, it's to be proactive in terms of giving the Hill organization the opportunity to do so. They're very happy about this. They see this as a very desirable step forward for their organization, and we find it mutually beneficial.
Thank you very much. Are there any other questions or comments, Councillor Zanko?
Thank you, Your Worship. Just a comment. I actually wanted to thank Mr. Brady and his team. I remember when the idea was just kind of being circulated around, when we knew there might be consideration for additional parking for Bay Beach. So I just want to applaud Mr. Brady and his staff for really thinking out of the box and making this happen. I think that it definitely addresses concerns about parking, and it helps an organization with additional revenue opportunities as well. So thank you.
Councilor Pasura.
Thank you, Meredith Cobb. And in a similar vein, thank you to the Cottagers organization as well for doing this. This is not the first time they've assisted in this type of method. They've been very amenable to other groups in the past, specifically our own Communities in Bloom Committee that have utilized that lot as a fundraiser, as well as I know the 40-year kinsmen have taken advantage of it as well. So I like the fact that we've now formalized an agreement and taken advantage off of something that has been very positive and productive in the past.
Any other questions or comments regarding the reports in the consent agenda? If not, I'm going to call the question. All those in favor of the recommendations? None opposed? That is carried. That takes us into Community and Development Services. Councillor Butler.
Thank you, Your Worship. Community and Development Services is now open. There are no delegations or presentations this evening, so we'll move on to reports. CDS-08-2016. Can I have a mover on this? Councillor Zanko, and I believe Councillor McDermott, you would like to speak to this.
Thank you, Councillor Butler. I would like to defer this until the first council meeting in March, as I do have two delegates that wish to come to speak to this issue.
Thank you, councillors. So we have a motion to defer on the table. All those in favor? Motion carried. Moving on to report number CDS-16-2016, proposed amendment to the town's official plan and comprehensive zoning bylaw number 129-90 for the former industrial lands on Helena Street. Can I get a mover, please? Councillor Zanko. That report is now on the floor. Would any of my colleagues like to speak to that or have any questions? Seeing none, I'll call the question. All those in favor? Motion carried. That moves us to report CDS-17-2016, initiation report for an amendment to the town's comprehensive zoning bylaw number 129-90 and fence bylaw number 70-2013. Can I have a mover for that?
So moved.
Thank you, Councillor McDermott. You can do the next one. That report is on the floor. Would anyone like to speak to that? Not. I'm going to call the question. All those in favor? Motion carried. The next report is CDS-18-2016, proposed land exchange between the Town of Fort Erie and INI Corporation, Valerie Beatty President, south side of Lakeshore Road, east of Albert Street. Can I have a mover for that? Councillor Passero, thank you. That report is now on the floor. Any comments or questions? None? Oh, okay. Your Worship.
I know that this is likely going to pass. I've got some misgivings. I think this really boils down to the distinction between policy, finances, and practicality, and this has the whole mix. I've heard councillors at the last meeting express the reasons why they support this, and I agree with the notion that we should be moving forward with respect to this particular issue to permit the property owner to create a building lot, has made application for a zoning change. So I understand and appreciate the need to keep moving this forward. I appreciate that it makes sense from the perspective that it will eliminate a long-standing encroachment on a road allowance. It will increase the assessment for the municipality once a house is built, and there will be preservation with respect to of the lakefront. And on that particular point, though, I did want to ask Mr. Brady, if I could, Madam Chair, about restrictions in terms of construction of a fence alongside the property, which would have the potential to create some impediments to the view.
Mr. Brady.
Thank you. Through to the mayor. It would be easiest to answer this question if everyone was looking at the second map in the report, which is headed Appendix 2 to the administrative report. On that second map, there's a whole series of areas identified that are, if you will, coming and going. But the one I'd like to draw your attention to is a yellow band. And the yellow band is where the existing storm sewer is located. That storm sewer does not have the benefit of a easement at the present time. Through this swap, I want a better way of saying it, we've negotiated that there will be an easement over that yellow area. And once that easement is in place, that easement will not permit buildings and will not permit fences.
Thank you. So just to complete my comments, the area that I, so there's a practical benefit of finalizing this. There are some policy reasons. Really boils down to my view that I don't think that the municipality is getting careful how I say this. I don't think that we're getting an equivalent value in exchange. That's, of course, a subjective opinion. Everyone back to this happens to be my view, and based on what I know will be the value of the parcel that we're facilitating the creation of in the context of the situation that we have right now. The notion that the municipality couldn't enforce the elimination of the encroachments, I think it's pretty much standard accepted law that a road allowance is not subject to a claim of adverse possession. And so we could, I'm sure, clear that road allowance if we were inclined to. The reality is there's still going to be a lot to the east, so that it wouldn't accomplish much. This is a much better solution. I agree with that. The only area that I part company, I think, with colleagues is with respect to my view as to what equivalent value would be, and for that support this. I respect the views that you all have with respect to this, that it's a matter of a subjective position with respect to value.
Thank you, Your Worship. Councillor Pissarro.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I understand where Mayor Redekop is coming from. I'm looking forward to seeing this finalized. I think it does accomplish some objectives, but I understand his points. Secondly, for a further reason, I'm looking forward to kind of wrapping this up in advance of our waterfront strategy meetings occurring. This will at least let us know what we have, what we can utilize, and it's not kind of a cloud hanging over this particular property. So I will be supporting this tonight. I think a good compromise is when neither party is 100% satisfied. And in my speaking with the property owners and in hearing His Worship's comments, I think that's the case here tonight. But I do think it solves a number of objectives to let us move forward. So I will be supporting it this evening. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. Any other comments or questions with respect to this report? Seeing none, I'll call the question. All those in favor? Motion carried. All those denied? Yes. Sorry. Motion carried. Okay, and that brings us to new business inquiries. Does anybody have any new business inquiries? Seeing none. Business status report? No questions? That concludes community and development services. Back to you, Your Worship.
Thank you very much, Councillor Butler. Scheduling of meetings. Councillor Pissarro.
Thank you, Mayor. Not a scheduling issue, but a question regarding a meeting that we have coming up, if I could, regarding the public meeting on food trucks, refreshment vehicles. Just wondering what our stakeholders list is and what outreach we're doing to ensure that people with a vested interest in that are aware of it. I know that we announce it here. I'm certain it's on the website. But do we have a stakeholder list that we've developed above and beyond who we currently have issued licenses to? Because I'm sure I know what their perspective will be. But I'm looking to kind of get a broader outreach and wondering if we've given that any consideration.
Madam Clerk?
Certainly, through you, Your Worship, to Councillor Pissarro, we did send a letter last week out to all of the BIAs so that they could potentially reach out to their members. as well as the Chamber of Commerce. We have sent it to all current licensees of refreshment vehicles or food trucks, and we did also include in that letter the two gentlemen last year that inquired about expansion on the commercial properties.
Excellent.
As well as ads in the newspaper and on the website.
Great. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Any meetings scheduled? Councillor Butler.
Thank you, Your Worship. Wednesday evening, there is a Ridgeway BIA meeting at the Ridgeway Legion at 5:15. And also tomorrow evening at 6 p.m., there is a DSBN Town of Fort Erie fundraising committee meeting being held in the library at FES.
That's tomorrow? Time?
6 p.m.
Any other meetings? Okay, then I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
I'm not hearing.
That's all right.
Sorry,
your substitute isn't here, so I guess we'll go back to you.
Move that the council in committee for the town of Fort Erie hereby adjourns at 7:11 p.m. to resume in our council and budget meeting on Wednesday, February 3rd at 6 p.m.
All those in favor? That's unanimous. Thank you.